Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for the combined analyst and press conference call that we have organized today to talk to you about the announcement we made on the planned acquisition of Dresser-Rand, as well as the planned divestment of BSH. The presentation was published today. You can download the file from the press and the IR websites. This call is also being webcast via the IR and press website. Allow me a short overview of today's proceedings. Siemens President and CEO Joe Kaeser will briefly guide you through the portfolio measures before Managing Board Member Lisa Davis will explain to you the strategic rationale for the acquisition of Dresser-Rand. Thereafter, together with Siemens Chief Financial Officer Ralf Thomas, both of them, together with Ralf, will answer your questions. We will start with the Q&A for analysts for approximately 30 minutes in English language, hosted by myself. Then we will answer questions from journalists for another 30 minutes in German language, hosted by my colleague Stefan Heimbach. Translation in German and English will be available. I would like to draw your attention to the Safe Harbor statement on page number 2 of the Siemens presentation. This conference call may include forward-looking statements. These statements are based on the company's current expectation and certain assumptions and are therefore subject to certain risks and uncertainties. And with that, I would like to hand over to you, Joe.
Thank you, Marielle. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning to the United States. And thank you for joining us today for this important call. Last night we have been announcing two transactions which are a continuation of executing on our Siemens Vision 2020, strengthening the core and get the company ready to the next level of its development. After the announcement of Rolls-Royce Aero Derivatives, gas turbines and compressors, we now are proud to announce the acquisition of Dresser-Rand, one of the leading value brands in the oil and gas industry. We have offered a value of $83 per share, amounting in a total consideration of $7.6 billion US dollar, which basically is 5.8 billion euro based on the current exchange rate. With that transaction, we continue to strengthen our core in the Siemens Vision 2020. And with Rolls-Royce at Dresser-Rand, we are closing the gap in the targeted value chain of our oil and gas offering. We create about 150 million euro annual savings by 2019. And those annual savings, by accessing the synergetic value, we consider this to be the minimum of what we can do going forward. And this transaction will be EPS accretive from year one onwards. Obviously, for many, this looks expensive or maybe even late in the cycle. Let me maybe make two comments on that concern. First, we do believe that there are more cycles to come in that respective industry, and we expect the next cycle to upward trend from 2016 onwards. And as you all know, if you go to that particular sector in the industry, oil and gas is about decades, is about long-term aspects on the cycle. We do agree that there is going to be a flatten out in 2014 and likely also 15, but we consider this to be a significant growth generator going forward. Secondly, obviously price is important, but the value matters more. And that's why we have been looking at the company and decided to acquire it and take the value we can generate by combining the Siemens and the Dresser-Rand assets in the business. And we will come to that in more detail later. Before we do that, let me maybe go to the other transaction, and that's the divestiture of the Siemens 50% share to co-shareholder Bosch. There's going to be an equity value of 3.25 billion for the 50% of the share. We also struck a long-term agreement for Bosch and Bosch Siemens Hausgeräte using the Siemens product brand. It's not going to be indefinite. It's not going to be as long as some other transactions have suggested, but it's going to be a long-term reliable cooperation between Siemens and Bosch on the brand. The divestiture of the 50% stake also means that we help Bosch and BSH to further concentrate the business. There are some synergies in combining the Bosch power tool business with the appliance business in the go-to-market and also in terms of part of the technology. We believe we have gotten a good price, which is north of 7x, and that 7x multiple also needs to be considered in the wake of the fact that there have has been no control premium because there was no controlling stake, and obviously that the synergies at the buy side have been somewhat limited. So why Dresser Rand? And please go with me now on page 4 of the slide deck. Dresser Rand is, as I said, one of the premium brands in the industry. It does fully match the strategic focus criteria which we have been setting out in our Siemens Vision 2020. It has been on our closely to watch list since then. Of course, we do realize that timing has had its particularities, but that did not change the value of the business to us. In the Vision 2020, we've laid out 5 criteria on where we believe our spectrum, our product spectrum ought to be. It's about growth. It's about an attractive profit pool. It's been about why Siemens is the right owner. It's been about what is the synergetic value all about. And last but not least, are there any paradigm shifts along the way in the business model of the respective area? And if we compare those 5 areas with which what Dresser Rand has to offer, it's a very, very compelling case. If it comes to growth, we do expect the combination of the businesses to allow us to grow between 6 and 8% per year in our respective oil and gas market. We've got a very complementary market distribution by region, especially if it comes to the United States and perhaps also Europe and Africa. And we have great applications in both up and downstream, which we can do together now in a better way. Last but not least, the acquisition of Dresser Rand allows us to further push our concept of decentralized energy, especially also if and when it comes to distributed LNG solutions, such as the micro LNG in the gas-to-liquid application. Profit pool is rather attractive out of 2 reasons. First, it's a very large installed base. It's got sticky service revenues, which already today make almost at least more than 2/3 out of the profit on the back of about 50% of revenue. And we continue to see solid double-digit profit margins as we move along. Why Siemens? Well, obviously, Siemens has already been seeing an installed base. We know what we are doing in both in the turbine and in the compressor environment, as well as in the distributed energy field. So this is a business which we well understand. But however, so far, the go-to-market approach has not been that well established as we now have generated with the hopefully also successful acquisition of Dresser Rand. There is, of course, also a significant portfolio addition in rotating equipment, for example, if it comes to reciprocating compressors and engines. Now, what's the synergetic value all about? And we come to that later in more detail when Lisa will lead you through the details of our synergies. As I mentioned earlier, the 150 million euro annual synergy savings are considered to be the bare minimum. We do expect we can do more over time, especially if we consider that in those synergies we have not yet considered the potential of the combination and after closing, of course, of the Rolls-Royce aeroderivatives. We just did not want to include them yet because the transaction has not closed. There is no reason to assume it would not close, but that's got upside. And then secondly, we do expect the channel of Dresser Rand to give us a full pull effect on industry spectrum like LMV and also, of course, automation and drive in the mid and the long term run. Those synergies have also not been included because, first of all, we want to be conservative. Secondly, in terms of the industrial automation piece and process industries, probably take a long time to replace installed bases as we go along. But then again, 150, bare minimum, we expect that to be materially more over time. And if that will be acquired and accessed, we'll keep you updated in our annual update on how the acquisitions go. Last but not least, the fifth element was the paradigm shift. We definitely see a massive improvement of Siemens positions in oil and gas. We have this trend towards LNG, and this is going to be driven not only by shale gas, but also other application. And last but not least, the asset and the company has a very strong U.S. presence in big oil and gas in Houston, from where the whole world is going to be basically served in the global operation of our customers. Now, next page, you see a quick overview on DSH. They definitely do not have any material synergies with the business in Siemens. We have not had control, so therefore it was only a logical step that over time we would divest of this business and give it to the natural owner, Bosch. In terms of areas of growth, you can see it is a decent market position, but then again, growth remains in the lower single-digit environment. Profit pool is okay, but not what our aspiration is going forward on double-digit operating margins. In terms of technologies, there is hardly any synergy, and that's also true with the go-to-markets, which reside more on the Bosch side if it comes to Bosch power tools. And, of course, in terms of paradigm shifts, the recent announcement of some of the competitors of Bosch Siemens Hausgerät have already shown that there is going to be further consolidation, and this is the time now to also enable Bosch to continue also with that consolidation as we move along. With that, I hand it over to Lisa, and she'll lead us through what the dresser end asset is all about, what the synergies look like, and how we go about the integration. Thank you. Lisa.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe, and hello, everyone. If we can proceed to page six, as Joe mentioned, I will touch a bit on the overall portfolio for Dresser Rand, how it creates profit within our business, and then the synergies as well. So on page six, we have here a bit of a view as to where Dresser Rand today participates in the oil and gas business. You can see here we have it broken down by upstream, midstream, and downstream. Along the bottom there is a split for their 2013 revenue, which shows a very well-balanced participation across the oil and gas business, whether it be in the upstream with reinjection, gas lift, fuel gas service to the FPSO business in oil and gas, or whether it be in midstream with gas pipeline transmission and storage, or obviously in the downstream with service to processing facilities such as refineries and chemical plants. Through this also are elements of innovation that Dresser Rand has put in place. For example, the micro LNG facilities that Joe mentioned, also the use of high-speed engines, supersonic compression, et cetera. So a very diverse and well-tuned portfolio for the oil and gas business itself. If we move to slide seven, as Joe mentioned also in the strategic rationale, a key element of the profit potential or the contribution that we see in the Dresser Rand business is obviously the installed base and the service revenue that goes with that. In this chart, if you look to the bottom right, we show that 50% of the Dresser Rand revenue is generated through the service business on the back of the very large installed fleet that they have. The chart on the left shows a comparison of our Siemens business, the Rolls-Royce aeroderivative business, which we are in the process of closing on, and then the Dresser Rand business recently announced. You can see a significant focus for all of the businesses in both the steam turbine and compressor areas. If you look at Siemens, for example, our business, we're the market leaders in less than 80 megawatts for mechanical drives and less than 150 megawatts for generator drives. Complementing that with the Dresser Rand business is a very strong position in the small turbines, small steam turbines, that are less than 5 megawatts in size. So you can see a nice complementary position there with a very strong installed base on the Dresser Rand side. In the compressor business on the Siemens side, a strong focus in centrifugal compressors, largely in the downstream area of oil and gas. Complementing that with the Dresser Rand business is a very strong position with both reciprocating and centrifugal compressors in all areas of the oil and gas business, upstream, midstream, and downstream. With this very strong installed fleet, you see many advantages being contributed to the business. Obviously, a very consistent and growing stream of profitable service revenue from day one. Very strong customer relationships and long-term relationships. We see this in our service business for our core turbine activities as well within Siemens. Obviously, the backlog that comes with this for these long-term relationships. And then, as Joe mentioned, a very complementary geographical footprint. And we'll see a bit more on the footprint as we move to the next slide. You can see with Siemens our very strong position in Europe, very much complemented by the strong position of Dresser Rand in the Americas, with 45% of their sales in 2013 in the Americas itself, 25% in Europe, and 17% in Asia Pacific. Also very key, obviously, to the service business and the installed fleet are the service centers that both Siemens, we have throughout the world for our service business, and also Dresser has with a strong concentration of facilities in the U.S. servicing oil and gas customers today. If we move to slide 9, we'll spend a bit of time here on synergies. And you can see, as Joe mentioned, our synergy assessment here we present as really very conservative approach. This leads to a minimum value of 1.3 billion euros. We've categorized in this chart the synergies in really three areas, and I'll go through these in a bit of detail just to provide some more granular information behind the bullets. If you look at cost synergies, obviously quite an opportunity to streamline our R&D activities. Both Siemens and Dresser, we have significant activities in R&D in the compressor lines of business. This combination of companies allows us the opportunity to combine and reduce the overall R&D without sacrificing, obviously, the desire to continue to create innovative products. This also, we've listed it here very much as a cost synergy, but this is really a future sales synergy as well, which has not been reflected in our numbers. Our customers are looking for new innovative approaches to solving their problems. This includes obviously new products and capabilities, and this acquisition allows us the opportunity of combining the leading attributes of our Siemens compressor line with obviously the leading attributes of the Dresser Rand line for a future improved equipment. On the second item, purchasing volume and bundling effects, obviously quite some opportunity to combine supply chain activities, to look at opportunities to reduce our overall purchasing costs if we look at cost of goods for our gas turbines, steam turbines, and compressors. Best practice sharing, if we look at just opportunities from Dresser Rand, they've made quite some significant improvement in cycle time reduction, as well as in concepts around flexible manufacturing within their supply chain, which are obviously opportunities to improve the overall network now with this combination. SG&A optimization, this is really a reflection of the redundant support services we will have in the two companies, and a bit of opportunity. We've been very conservative in our assumption here to reduce overall those support costs. Optimization of global manufacturing and service facilities. I mentioned earlier that both companies have quite a footprint of service facilities. We will obviously look to combine these going forward to create both efficiencies, but as well as creating better best practice sharing and information and knowledge amongst our service teams. On the sales synergy side, we have here the significant generation of pull effect for industry products long term. What we've included in our synergies are really the most immediate cross-selling opportunities with key customers. Obviously, our customers today in the oil and gas space are looking for solutions and for value-add applications. This combination with Dresser-Rand obviously gives us the opportunity to cross-sell the product line that we have in Siemens with the product line that Dresser-Rand has to create a stronger package for our oil and gas customers. As Joe mentioned, what we have not included here are the more associated products that we have in our Siemens portfolio, such as low medium voltage and automation in the manufacturing space. And as we develop stronger and stronger relationships with our customers, we will see more and more opportunity to pull through and cross-sell these additional products and services that we offer. So further upside in our synergies. Efficient use of field service and customer access. I've touched a bit on this around the combination of our service sites, both from a cost reduction as well as from an opportunity to share best practices, strengthen our customer knowledge, be more efficient in how we use our data analytics to create value for our customers, and then obviously opportunities on the gas turbine side as well. Our integration concept, our focus will be on creating Dresser-Rand as the oil and gas company within Siemens. Our emphasis will be on leveraging the strength that we see in Dresser-Rand with respect to knowledge of the oil and gas market, knowledge of our customers and their needs in terms of creating value and looking for solutions, and then our ability to leverage the current very effective go-to-market approach that they have. We anticipate today that our compressor business will be integrated into this business unit, which will allow us to immediately take advantage of the opportunities to optimize the compressor line across the two companies. We'll obviously want to keep the Dresser-Rand name and the reputation that goes in the market with this very strong company, and then also a very strong focus in Houston with the Center of Oil and Gas, as Joe mentioned. This summarizes our synergies. As Joe mentioned also, if you look at the footnotes, we have not included, just as a reminder, the Rolls-Royce acquisition. We do see quite some synergy there, but until we actually finalize that deal, we've left those synergies out. And then also the additional pull-through of Siemens' portfolio beyond rotating equipment, which we've reflected here. So with that, I'll hand it over to Joe to close with the final chart.
Thank you, Lisa. We are on page number 10 now, which basically illustrates on how we are going to move those transactions forward. For Bosch, for the appliance business, it should be a pretty straight up sales and purchase agreement. It's been signed last night before midnight. That's right, the 21st. We have been entering into a long-term brand license agreement. And then after the expiration of this long-term license agreement, the usage of the brand will be associated with the license fee. But that's, as I said, in a long-term view, way below 70 years, but obviously longer than 10. And we expect the closing to be in the first half of calendar year 2015. As far as Dresser-Rand is concerned, obviously this is a very, very important focus point for out of several reasons. We signed the merger agreement after midnight on the 22nd of September. So now there will be a special shareholder meetings to be held beginning of 2015. There is no date set yet, but it's going to be timely. Obviously because the closing condition requiring shareholder approval. And we expect that the majority of the Dresser-Rand shareholder will approve the deal. And we expect the closing during summer 2015, which obviously is subject to regulatory approvals. So with that, I'd like to basically summarize what we have done. We exactly follow along the strategic focus of our Vision 2020. We are extremely mindful about capital allocation to where we believe we can make a meaningful value creation. As far as the value chain of oil and gas is concerned, upstream, midstream, downstream, distributed energy generation, LNG, we do believe now with Rolls-Royce and Tesserand, we have the gaps closed. So we would not expect any material acquisition in the next years on this one. We've got everything which we need. We've got a great aeroderivative business. We've got an even greater a brand on oil and gas helping us to pull through our products, which we have to offer in Siemens. All depends now on two major items. First, we need to access and deliver on the synergies. The 150 million euro absolute minimum. The 150 would bring up the total value of the synergies to 1.3. We expect a material upside potential on both by the closing of the Rolls-Royce aeroderivatives, where we can basically replace the current purchases of derivatives from our competitors through our own derivatives from Rolls-Royce. And we do expect a significant channel pull for LMV as well as process industries automation from the industrial side. Those, as I said, have not been part of 2019, but as I mentioned earlier, this industry does not count by quarter or year. This counts for a long period of time. Revenues and profitability is sticky and remains attractive. We do agree price has been on the high side. But then again, it matters more what value we create, and we are absolutely enthusiastic. We are absolutely clear that this will be a major contribution to the further value creation within Siemens. With that, I hand it back to Marielle for your questions. Thank you all, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Lisa. Operator, we would like to open up for Q&A now with Joe, Ralf, and Lisa, please.
Okay, thank you, madam. We will start today's first question and answer session for the analysts. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question today comes from Andreas Willi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the time. The first question is on the Tesserand business plan that you're using for your calculations. Tesserand has in the last 3-4 years on average come in at about 15% below what they guided at the beginning of the year in terms of operating performance. So have you taken a haircut of their business plan, or are you using their internal business plan for your plan? The second question in terms of the integration plan, what can you say about which management would lead that and what's potentially the commitment from the Dresser management to lead that integration effort? And thirdly, in terms of you say you're largely complete with what you wanted to have in U.S. oil and gas. If I look at Tesserand and in terms of what it gives you in the U.S., it's only about 250 million euros in new equipment per year. Is this really enough to put you on the map in Houston for the U.S. oil and gas industry relative to your ambitions? Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas. On the business plan, what we found in the data room was a well-developed business plan which had basically three views. One was a base case, one was a worst case, and one was a highly probable case. And we took the Siemens case, which was a bit below the worst case. So that, I guess, for this one, then integration plan, this obviously is very crucial. In getting, you know, the synergies and the value out and preserve the value of the incumbent business. the whole integration will be led by Lisa personally. which obviously is unusual, but it matters this time because of the impact which we expect to generate. We have also seen that the management team of Dresser Rand is a highly capable, highly dedicated management team, well established in the industry. And we do welcome the management team to stay and help us access the synergies and the incremental values in the business plan. And that's our working hypothesis. Obviously, there would be plan Bs if need be, but we are highly impressed with the management team and we like it to stay and help us access and extract the values which we see. On your third comment, was actually not a question, but it was a comment, that you know, there are doubts about putting us on the map in Houston. Well, look, I mean, business origin is not always where business shows in the region. And if you look at the total spectrum of the revenues, which is north of $3 billion, the business generated by decision-making in Houston is a multiple of what you see already happening in the United States. So it's important to go to the decision-making point, and then we obviously will follow to Nigeria, to Eastern Europe, or elsewhere in the world where Peak Oil has its subsidiaries. So this is more about getting access to decision-making than anything else, because then we, through our global distribution network in Siemens, can follow any oil and gas company anywhere in the world and help them to develop their business. So we are actually very positive, and we do believe that Dresser Rand and Siemens, and we call Dresser Rand the Siemens Oil and Company, will be seen and heard and noticed in the greater Houston Big Oil environment.
Thank you very much.
Next question, please, operator.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ben Uglow from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Well, afternoon, everyone. I had a couple. First of all, just in terms of the end market outlook for oil and gas, the 6-8%, maybe Joe, maybe Lisa, but can you just give us a sort of sense, general color, on how you're thinking about the different end markets, the subsectors within oil and gas, be it upstream, midstream, and downstream, how you see the different parts of the chain evolving, and what is unique to Dresser Rand, how will you participate in the upside as and when it comes. Second question is an obvious one. We go back to the EVA targets that Siemens had back in May, which was to have a positive, to cover the cost of capital within 3 years, and to have a 15% cash return within 5 years. I think any analyst sort of doing back of the envelope calculations would come to the conclusion that we are some way off those targets. My question, I guess, is, it's a broad one, which is, when you looked at the asset and when you looked at the price, was it simply that you felt that over time, be it a much longer timetable, you could generate the returns you wanted? Or is there something that we're not seeing from our numbers in terms of, for example, the margin potential or how far you can drive the business? So I guess my question on EVA is this just so strategic that you're willing to push out your goals into a longer time frame? Or actually, do you see more upside than we see today?
Thank you, Ben. On the end markets, Lisa will give you some flavor on why we believe we can make this happen in our markets. By the way, if you also look at the latest International Energy Agency analysis, they also deal with the 6-8, but I do also know that there are other analyses out there, but we need to understand what our business will look like in the space, and Lisa will go on this one. Mm-hmm. In terms of the cost of capital, obviously we said EVA neutral 3 years after integration.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned earlier, we are very, very mindful about the integration because we believe that the crown jewel is the premium brand of Dresser Rand if it goes to market access. and this ground on the biggest potential is that we get the pull effect of LMV and automation equipment also through the channel. So we'll be very, very mindful about integration, and therefore we expect actually the full integration to take years till we are fully done, because we do not want to harm the customer interface in terms of application potential. That obviously also means, you know, that it'll take some time, and EBA definitely takes time to be neutral, and Ralf will come to that in a second. But then again, oil and gas industry, you know, this is about, you know, many years out. That's about installed base, and in that specific item, we took the liberty to go away a bit from our usual hurdle rates, because we believe that we create long-term value which is sticky, defendable, and that we can add value across the board, also distributed energy. With that, I'd hand it over to Lisa to explain a bit on the growth potential, and then to Ralf to give you the dates on EVA and the cash return. Lisa.
Yes, thank you, Joe. To your question on where we see the growth, upstream, midstream, downstream, how the 6-8% is distributed, in general, we see stronger growth in the upstream and midstream. We see this new combined portfolio of Siemens and Dresser Rand being very well suited to both of those areas. If you look at just the number of opportunities in the upstream, with many countries looking for more energy, the announcements around offshore installations, offshore field development, the number of orders and such for FPSOs, all of those activity areas are very applicable for our current and new portfolio, if you think about the electrification of those offshore activities. In the midstream space, with the significant growth in unconventionals, the need to provide compression or LNG-type opportunities to help bring that stranded gas to market. We see quite a bit of opportunity there, again, well-suited to our portfolio. Probably a bit less so on the downstream side, just because in many of the developed markets, the downstream business is over capacity. But even with that, we see a lot of announcements of new refineries being built. I was in Brazil last week. They're building two new, with two additional ones announced. Obviously, the need to renovate refineries in Mexico. Quite a string of announcements around chemical plants, which all of these are opportunities for, obviously, the Dresser Rand portfolio, but even more so our Siemens portfolio, if you think about our ability to provide electrical solutions, low medium voltage, as well as automation, which now the relationship with Dresser Rand will allow us stronger customer connections to enable that cross-selling and broader solution space. So predominantly upstream, midstream, less so the growth in downstream.
Ben, Ralf speaking. With regard to EVA accretiveness, assuming that we will be able to close the deal next year in summer, 2015, we then will, as Joe has been pointing out, thoroughly integrate the business, making sure that the market dynamics stay intact. From that point of view, we assume first EVA accretiveness late in 2020 or early in 2021. Mm-hmm. With regard to cash return, exceeding 15% at the threshold that we have been using in the past, I think it will take 2 or maybe 3 years longer, depending on how much additional synergies we will be able to harvest. As we said, exploring that with regard to Rolls-Royce and also the industrial pipeline of products we have at Siemens for the time being.
That's very clear and very helpful. Thanks, Ralf. One very quick follow-up. You are assuming in those calculations that the margins go back to the sort of mid-teens or the peak levels they were in 2008 and 2009. Is that a fair assumption?
As Joe said, I mean, we have been taking a very conservative look at the synergies so far, and we'll take it from there, and we definitely have not been too much heating up expectations.
Okay.
Your assumption is right, Ben. It's exactly what we plan through innovation in the distributed energy environment and also in the LNG, the micro-LNG, that we see margins, again, north of 12%, obviously, underlying, you know, pre-PPA.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Simon Tonneson from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everybody. Two questions from my side. First one, on sort of product overlap, I'd like to understand a bit more where do you see the, or where did you see the gaps in the Siemens portfolio in the oil and gas business, and where does Tresorand actually helps you to fill those, and where did you see the biggest sort of complementary product areas where you're already in and Dresser gives you just better scale? And the second question is on M&A going forward. You said in oil and gas the portfolio is now about complete. Is process automation the only larger gap that you see? How do you think just about capital deployment going forward? Is it now more about divestments rather than M&A? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Simon. On your question on the product overlap, if it comes to compressors, I mean, obviously, we've been pretty strong in the axial and the rotating compression, where we both have an overlap. This is about between 40 and 510,000 cubic meters per hour. We've got overlap there, where we are pretty grateful that we can get incremental spectrum. That's all the compressors up to 33 megawatts, which we didn't have, but Tresorand has. In the topic of steam turbines, we basically have good overlap. From 0.1 up to 4 megawatts in the single standard area, in the multiple drives area up to 70 megawatts we've got overlap, but also then in the energy generation up to 100 megawatts we've got overlap, and that of course gives us significant synergy potential because the best solution will prevail, and the other one will become synergy. That's true for manufacturing. That's first and foremost also true for engineering and R&D. But then if it comes to all the other topics like small gas turbines in the area of 1.5 to 2.2 megawatts, or the expanders, the actual expanders up to 130 megawatts, or micro LNG, there is not a single overlap. So we create a lot of incremental offering. That's also true for the Guascore motors up to 1.4 megawatts, where we also do not have any overlap with Tresorand. So there's both significant overlap that we can create synergies by, you know, getting the best solution to prevail, and then also a material improvement of the offering in the areas which I have mentioned. And as far as acquisitions are concerned, look, we are not going to go after someone else who's been investing a lot of money in all sorts of places of oil and gas. We have a very clear, very focused view, which we laid out under the Vision 2020. That's the value chain of electrification. And that's what we are going to follow, include in, and then on top of that, putting the automation capabilities to work. And that's beyond digitalization at this point in time, because it doesn't matter much in that particular aspect. So that's where we are focused at, electrification, and then the topic of automating also the oil and gas world. Very focused, compressors, turbines, electrification, and that's where we are focusing on, and not anything else. So that's why I said for us, in our strategy, in our focus, we are complete for the most part.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Martin Wilkie from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Martin from Deutsche Bank. Just a couple of questions. The first one, just coming back to the cycle, your commentary around upstream, I think, is a little bit more positive than a few of the oil companies and some of the oil service companies have been talking about. So just to understand, are your more optimistic views on upstream, is that from sort of 2016 onwards, or is it a piece of Dresser that has a particular niche in upstream that means that it can perhaps grow better in that market in the near term? So that was question one. The second one was just whether there are any parts that you deem as non-core. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but on page six I see the environmental pieces sort of outside of that grey box or energy infrastructure. To just understand, are there any parts of the business that you'd think are non-core at this stage? Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Although cyclically, you're actually right. And so we also, and I think I mentioned that in the beginning, we also do see some downturn, or have seen some downturn in the business in 2014. We expect that bottoming out in 15, so also limited growth. We've been considering that also in our business plan assumption, which has been a part of the valuation, of course. And we expect the cycle to come back starting 2016. And so what Lisa said relates to 16 onwards. In terms of the core business on a company which we just put an offer to shareholders to acquire is probably the right question, but a bit early. So let us focus on this one once you are done with re-securing the major value contributing assets, and I'll take it from there.
I understand. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from James Moore from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions, Joe. I've got a few. Firstly, can you say what the charges will be in 15 and 16 for the integration cost and the timing of those charges and whether there are any gains or loss on Bosch Siemens? Secondly, on the CapEx cycle, I think you've answered some of my questions, but when you talk about 6 to 8% longer-term growth, can you actually say what the drivers are of longer-term oil and gas growth rather than where it's coming from and how much that growth rate is market and how much it's share taken synergies? And then thirdly, I wonder if you could help us a bit on mix and product mix. I think the old oil and gas business was something like 60% industrial turbines and 40% turbo compressors. And I think turbines used to be higher margin. Can you give us a rough feel for what the revenue and margin split is by product post Rolls-Royce and Dresser so we can get a feel for what the future mix of the business looks like, please?
Hi, James. On the charges, we do expect about 180 million euro profit impact in 2015 and 16. That's also actually on the chart of page 9. So we've deducted that from the net impact of the synergies. 180 million. It's probably about pretty half-half as a base for the base assumption for the model. 15 and 16, and that should be actually it. As I said earlier, we'll be very mindful about integration, take a few years to get it fully done and make sure that the sales interface stays extremely successful. On the segment profitability, I mean, obviously I understand your question. We also know the answer, but I'm not sure at this point in time whether this is a meaningful way to also, publicly discuss the matter. You should know for both Rolls-Royce as well as Dresser End, about 75% of the profit comes from the installed base. About 25% of the profit comes from new business. Whereas the new business versus the installed base is about half each in revenues. To just give you a flavor, we expect that ratio to go down to about one-third to two-thirds, one-third new business, two-third installed base profitability by 2019. And that actually reflects the growth aspirations, which we believe we can see in 17, 18, and 19. Through the business plans and the customer interviews, which we obviously have taken. Rolls-Royce, similar topic, great installed base, new business, hardly profitable, but service business, probably, if I had to answer that question, I would say north of 20%. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the information I'd like to share on that topic.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Michael Hagmann from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of follow-ups, if I may. In follow-up of James's question, I was actually wondering how much of the old oil and gas division is actually going to be integrated into the new one, and how much is actually going into power generation. And then as a follow-up to Andrea's question on the integration team, could you tell us who from the old Siemens oil and gas business will be on the integration team, and who are the representatives from low and medium voltage and process automation in that team, if they play a role at all? Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Lisa was already saying hand it over because it's her thing on the executive board. Lisa, please.
Yeah, on the on the first question you had about how much of the old oil and gas division will go into the new Dresser-Rand business, right now we're still evaluating what looks to be the best from a customer perspective, what allows us to provide the best offer to the oil and gas business. Right now we've, as shown on the chart, we'll certainly incorporate the compressor business from Siemens. But beyond that, it's still we're still looking at it to understand what makes the most sense. On who will lead the integration effort, it'll be a joint effort between Siemens staff as well as those from Dresser-Rand to make sure that we have a very good understanding of the business. We haven't finalized names and such, but we'll obviously leverage the knowledge we have in Siemens in the oil and gas space to contribute to that effort.
The follow-up to both, how much are the revenues with compressors? And the second one, are the people on the integration team from all of those different Siemens businesses, so including process, low voltage, and medium voltage? Thanks.
Be happy to this one. The compressor business in Siemens is about $1.5 billion, and at this point in time, hardly making any money. So that, if you just take this one for a while and assume that we reach average margins on that $1.5 billion Siemens compressor business, as we have in Dresser-Rand, which is obviously double digit, you can see the massive potential which we can do by getting the job done in a more effective way. And Dresser-Rand will lead the way to achieving this, all right? And that's, from that also you can see how important it is to time and again, you know, make clear to everyone of the stakeholder community that synergies and value which we create here is significant, very significant, even though we admit that price has been not exactly on the low end of our expectations. So this is why I said earlier, you know, price matters, but at the end, value is more important. Now, the integration team, Michael, I would kind of try to read your question. I'd like to answer like this. Be rest assured that we'll take people on the integration team who've got no legacy to defend. All right?
Thank you,
got
Joe.
It. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, that's what I thought. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, being mindful of time and want to make sure that the journalists have sufficient time to also ask their questions. Operator, I think we will take one last question.
Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from James Stettler from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you and good afternoon all. Three quick questions just on the timing. Why now? Why wasn't a deal done earlier, given that the strategic, you know, the rationale has always been there? Secondly, in comparing, this is the biggest deal since Dade Behring, what has been done differently this time around, especially in terms of synergies and top-line growth forecasts and trying to be more conservative? And then finally on Dresser, for a business which is doing 75% of earnings from the installed base, you know, why is the margin relative to peers so low?
Well, James, hi. On the timing of the transaction, I mean, obviously, this target has been on the very upper end of our deal book. You know, we've followed the asset basically every quarter, every news flow was being analyzed, and latest since May, when we laid out our Vision 2020 concept, we knew at some point in time this is going to be something which we'd rather have to advance our value creation and execute on the strategy. We also obviously have seen that, you know, the first wave of the oil and gas cycle has reached its peak, if not yet was post or past the peak. And if we had our will, you know, if it had only been us to decide, we probably would have tried it in 2015 or maybe late 14, early 15. But sometimes there are events which you need to make a decision whether or to take or to leave it. And, you know, that's basically what it is. So what's different in date bearing? Well, we understand this business. That is about compressors. That's about turbines. That's what we have been doing for many, many years. Maybe not as successful in areas as Dresser Hand has been able to be doing it. But we know our way around in terms of technology. We did not have quite the go-to-market channel as we now have been able to achieve, assuming the transaction goes through, with a premium brand and a great team, especially in sales. But we know exactly what they're talking about in terms of technology and what's inside the box. Date bearing was, I believe, an anxious move. Buying something which we did not have any expertise in if it comes to diagnostics and technology. So with Date Bearing, we bought a company which we really did not know exactly what was inside, even though after due diligence. So that's a huge difference. We haven't been anxious on that, on Dresser End, which has no, you know, what they have, and they have a great go-to-market, and we can create significant value by combining our efforts, as Lisa and I have laid out earlier. On your third question, why is profitability less than other peers in Dresser End? Well, look, I mean, that also shows that also Dresser End's got some potential, which we need to go access. They are at about 12% or north of 12%, and with the synergies, we can boost that up with about, I would say, 200 to 250 basis points at least, and that creates value, and this is what we are going to be up to. So what really matters is integration. What matters is that we execute on our synergy potential, not just the one which we have been laying out, but also the one on LMV and the process industries, and then we make this a big success.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you to the analysts that have participated to today's call. Give us a call if you have any remaining questions from today's topics. And we will now switch over to the Q&A session for the journalists.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can live, we'll answer questions in English. Now ask the operator to take questions. Operator, please, you can take the questions. Thank you very much, Dr. Heimbach. We start the Q&A session for journalists. If you want to ask questions, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, please press *1 on your telephone keypad if you want to ask a question. I ask you for a couple of seconds of patience while we take questions. Here comes the first question. Mr. Jentag of Reuters.
I've got two little questions. The first question, have you already got a stake in Dresser End? And the second question being, how do you handle the stake of Vekovac Holding in Dresser End? acquired meanwhile. Are there negotiations going on? Have you already agreed to the sale? What's your position? Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the press. Mr. Hack, your question now. We don't knowingly have any stake in Dresserand, and it hasn't been our intention to get an advantage through these methods. We prefer to talk to the management directly, you know, how much sense such a combination makes. So how do we handle it? We don't actually know whether colleagues will continue to hold the stake, but we will treat them as we treat all the others. And just following up to Dresserand's management statements, you know, they recommend to sell the stake to Siemens. By the way, according to the bylaws, the general meeting has to decide by simple majority and consent, and then the shareholders have an obligation to transfer the stake. I may assume that this will not have an influence on the further continuation of the transaction. Next question, please. Well, let's take the next question of Angela Meyer of the Manager magazine. The floor is yours.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a couple of follow-up questions. I did not understand correctly whether Vincent Volpe will stay, will remain in his position. It sounds like if you didn't get his consent, and you said global headquarters is going to be in Houston. So as far as I know, Mr. Volpe and his management team are located in Paris. If he was to stay, he should move to Houston. Is that right? And next follow-up question, will this be a division of Siemens, or how shall we imagine that? And the very last question from my side, you said that something happened. I think that Sulzer tried to acquire Dresserand. There had been rumors that Sulzer was contacted by Dresserand to play the role of the White Knight. Is that true? Mrs. Meyer, good afternoon. So Dresserand management. Is very positive, is very optimistic regarding this transaction. They think that the acquisition by Siemens is the best solution, is because we are considered to be the best owner of the business. And Mr. Volpe has offered, and we appreciate that, to stay in place as management team and to help us in this transitional phase. It is true that the global headquarters is going to be in Houston. Well, Dresserand has two headquarters today, one in Paris and one in Houston. And Mr. Volpe is working out of Houston and out of Paris alternately. He will spend more time in Houston then. And, well, there are 700 employees in France, so this we have a plant in France which has to be taken care of. We shouldn't forget that. So it's fair to assume that we will have both headquarters, but the headquarters will be in Houston. Whether this will be a division or a business unit, this remains to be decided on. The fact of the matter is that the main oil and gas activities within Siemens will be concentrated, will be consolidated under the Dresserand brand. Dresserand will be the oil and market business of Siemens, and the organizational setup will be a matter of discussion in the months to come. But it's fair to assume this will be a business unit or a division of Siemens. So the go-to-market interface shall be intact and shall be expanded. So I don't know who asked first to acquire this business. We don't know this. And for us, doesn't matter. A white knight can only play a role if somebody has to fear an unfriendly takeover, a hostile takeover. This is not the case here. We have made it clear right from the start that this is a cooperation, a partnership, which is good for all the stakeholders, and the management agrees. I cannot tell you who played which role. I'm not aware of anything of that. Thank you very much. The next question, Archibald Boyshirt, please.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have two questions of understanding. GE has also been interested in Dresser-Rand, just as an explanation of what you have closed with management. Is there still a bidding war going on? And why is it not before summer 2015 that we will be seeing the closing? Why will the meeting only be not be held before 2015? Can't that be any faster? And what I haven't noticed before, a certain Peter Löscher was the president of the Sulz Management Board. Didn't he have any clause forbidding him to work for the competitor? Why is he still there? Well, Mr. Reicher, these are all three good questions which I can't answer. But let me have my judgment. Well, I've read that as well, yes, you know, what you've just said, that this is the case, but certainly this this company should know itself. I can't make any judgments on that. You'd have to ask the other company. So bidding war, as far as this is concerned, no, we cannot say for certain that there is a bidding war. But very often, you know, if the entire management team and the associated supervisory board or administration or the board of directors are clearly in favor of a solution, as a rule, it's very unusual for others to get on board with no negotiations and agreements. You can't exclude it, but it's not very presumable. So why does it take that long with the meeting? Of course, there are certain time limits, so we will proceed as quickly, as fast as possible, always in line with the time limit. And you know that Mr. is the CEO of Sulzer. He worked with Siemens, and I can well imagine that the attractiveness of Dresser-Rand is known to him, after all, because this company has been observed intensely since May. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions, please? Well, let's take the next questions of Alex Wetzel, Bloomberg.
Sorry, I've been locked into the English language version, so I'm going to have to ask my question in English. I was wondering if you could perhaps talk through the logistics of what happened since the news, or since Sulzer announced that they had been talks with Dresser-Rand about a merger. Hekeza, you've been very keen to emphasize the agility of Siemens under your leadership, and I wonder then if this is an example of that, or whether, in fact, the talks had been going on for a little bit longer.
I've only heard the translation. It was not so clear who is talking. I think that we have proven that many times that we are capable of acting rather swiftly and consistently. We still have many things to optimize, but we can proceed. We have worked hard with our team to make sure that we know about this asset we want to acquire, but this has been in our focus for quite some time. We have followed the news flow. We have followed the development of the industry. We have followed all the statements. We have analyzed all the statements made by Dresser-Rand. So this didn't come out of the blue. and our flexibility, our agility, has proved evidence that our team is very capable of doing this job. We have made an agreement with Dresseren, but this was not an ad hoc agreement just because somebody else was interested or seemed to be interested. We know this asset quite well. We understand the value we can generate. We understand the EVA issue, and we know what we can do by combining our businesses, which we can achieve and we can win by combining our business. The compressor field alone, $1.5 billion, highly advanced equipment in technological terms, but we cannot make good money with it, so we can do better with Dresseren. So this transaction was not so exciting. We have worked very hard to act swiftly and flexibly, and the result was quite good, and we are happy about it. The next question, please. The next question.
Well, the next question is from Julia Anonita from Julia Partner.
Oh, hi. I'm afraid my question is in English too. I'm interested in which antitrust approvals will be needed, in particular another regulatory approval, whether the CFIUS approval will be needed in the United States.
Well, I understood your question such that you are interested and keen to know about any antitrust issues or if there are special conditions. No, we don't see them. And of course, we've analyzed this very subject matter, and we assured the stakeholders of Dresseren that we would be assuming the risk involved, and we consider this meaningful and controllable, manageable. Of course, we cannot preclude that there might be a certain round or some remaining issues. There are some countries where investigations are really quite tedious. That has nothing to do with the close, but that has to do with the established approach in some countries. But as far as antitrust rules are concerned, we don't have any and don't see any major obstacles. We are number two and number four join forces to become a strong company in a specific field we're addressing, and both together are hardly as big as the first, the leading company, so we will not be faced with material obstacles. This is my interpretation of what you wanted to know, right?
I wanted to know which countries, please.
Next question, Martina Brown of Reuters.
Hi there. I'm afraid I've got four questions, but they're fast. Firstly, could you please break down your oil and gas revenues by region for us? Secondly, do you anticipate job cuts as part of the integration, and if so, on what scale? Thirdly, is there a break fee in this agreement? And fourthly, will it have an effect on your share buyback program? Thanks.
I have only heard three questions. You have mentioned four questions. So, revenue. What was the fourth question? It was revenue by regions, share buyback, and job cuts. So, I've missed the fourth question. Revenue broken down by regions. They are as follows: a volume of a total north of $3 billion, 31% North America, 25% Europe, 17% Asia Pacific, 14% Latin America and Africa and Middle East with 12%. Africa and Middle East with 12%, 40% Latin America. Job cuts to be expected. this is not the focus of our integration program. What we are focusing on is value creation and the development of the product portfolio. We want to develop products and solutions and services which already exist within Siemens and to improve them with a new partner, with a well-installed channel offered by Dresser-Rem to get to the customer, to generate value on the customer side. And, of course, this will lead to some consolidations, to some redundancies. Think about administration. Think if the companies are merged, it may happen, for example, on the manufacturing side, on R&D, that we decide for the best possible site or production process or development concept. So we cannot exclude that there will be some consolidation, but this is not the rationale. The rationale is focused on value creation, on EVA and optimization of the go-to-market, of the distribution channel. That is what we are aiming at. Share buyback, I don't know why you think that it could have an impact on our share buyback program. We want to have defined the target of 4 billion within 2 years. We don't see a reason to change this plan, so this is not an issue right now. Next question, please. And we now a question by Jean-Philippe Lacour of NMO.
Well, good afternoon on my part as well. I've got three questions. In as much, Lisa Davis, what were the decisive factors for this transaction? I mean, okay, you are American, that helped certainly, and your commitment, but could you quantify that a little bit? Integration will also require you being there as the organizer on site together with your fellow countrymen. As far as Paris is concerned, well, jobs will be cut probably there because the Paris headquarters won't be that important anymore. And, well, I don't know, maybe my last question isn't that meaningful. With Altran, you had an offering with BG, with your partner, that was fairly complicated. And this time, you did it all on your own. So there has never been any talk of a partnership or some joint offering, right? Thank you. Well, the question is quite good, actually. But since Frau Davis can't answer it, but she shouldn't perhaps. Okay, let me answer. Of course, it is important for the decision whether or not certain business activities are acquired, whether you have your own top management resources that know the branch of industry very well and inside out. This is always meaningful and helpful, and this has been the case here as well. If you have a top executive, you feel fine with him or her, and one that has spent so many years in this branch of industry, knows the people of Houston, that helps, of course, because when it comes to due diligence, of course, you not only have to rely on paper, thank heavens, you have an impression of the management team and the impression conveyed to the customer as far as this asset is concerned. And of course, it's good if you know the branch of industry, if you understand the branch of industry, if you understand the customer, if you know the customer, and so that you see that the paper data hold water. And of course, I was happy to see that we have someone with Lisa who speaks the oil and gas language, not only English. We call this domain know-how, that is to say the competency of a certain industry, and that has helped us and stood us in great stead, and that's why she will be leading the integration. After all, the integration is very important and crucial for value creation, which is immense. Paris. Well, I spent quite some time in Paris. I was there in May, and not that long, for that long a time, but speculations of job cuts Well, that's certainly too premature. As I've said before, there is a major factory and a dresser and factory, and there is no reason to address this. So we issued a guarantee as far as the location preservation is concerned, covering 3 years. So that's secured on the safe side. And I think that's not something which is in the offing. Now, the Alstom offering was a completely different configuration and constellation. Dresser End is really top ranking, top of the list, as it were, of important and major facilities, but Alstom wasn't represented there at all, neither in terms of in March or April or May. With Alstom, you know, that was different. We need a partner, they need a partner, the shareholder, staff for the country and for the branch of industry. They had to come up with a good concept and good business model. That's what they did in terms of strategy and so on. Because we did that partnering, and the chair of the company, the CEO, did not accept it. Nevertheless, and we accepted that, that's why it's done with. This time it's different with Dresser End. Strategic match was perfect. It works well, and we will certainly consistently and mindfully use the benefits on a friendship basis, and we will certainly come out with excellent results. Okay, in view of the time pressing on, there is one last question. No, there are no further questions. Yes, there is one follow-up question on Julia Ananijan of Dear Reporter.
Hi there. Sorry, I just had a follow-up question. For the antitrust and other regulatory approvals, are you able to say which countries they'll need to be made in? And I'm interested particularly in whether CFIUS approval in the United States is needed. Thank you.
So again, this transaction has only been announced tonight. So the next steps will be to ask for approval of the General Assembly of Shareholders. Then this will be the antitrust authorities will be notified in all countries of the world, including the U.S. Then we will enter into the approval process. But as I already have said, we do not expect any insurmountable hurdles or obstacles. Ladies and gentlemen, we now come to the end of our Q&A session. We'd like to thank all of you for your participation in today's call. The press team and the investor relations team are available for further questions, of course. And I wish you a nice day. With that, we end today's conference call. If you want to listen to the recording of the call, you can use the following dial-in numbers. Participants in German use the following dial-in number, +4969222222236, access code 1991. Oh, participants in the rest of Europe use the dial-in number +44203427-0598, access code 1991895 #. Participants in the U.S. use the following dial-in number +1-347-366-366-9565, access code 1991895. This service is available 48 hours. A recording will also be made available on the press and investor relations website on the internet. The addresses are www.siemens.com/presse and www.siemens.com/investor relations. Thank you very much. And with this, today's conference call is closed.